When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Elemental is over, but we're just getting started here on post-show recaps. My name is Grace, but I'm not alone. Without Ariel this week, I think he's at Fire Island. It's very funny if you get that one. So, of course, I brought in a guest to fill in for Ariel. It's Jess Sterling. Jess, how you doing?
Hi, it's me, your resident Leo, here to talk all things fire. You know how cool. It goes, Grace.
I'm a water sign, right? I'm a Virgo. Is that right?
Oh, that's an earth sign. But...
Oh, oops.
It's okay. I mean, Ariel's a water sign. So
okay. So what do we
like
need
representing
to find?
We got some good representation in terms of the forces.
What's the
air.
Air. Mm-hmm. Who's it? What and what are those? Do we have one?
Do we have one? Gosh, I'm trying to
Josh
think
is the same as Ariel, right? They're the same sign.
They're Pisces. They're both Pisces. Yeah. Okay. Do we have any Libras? Oh, Adam H. He is a Libra.
Okay. Adam H. Great. All right. We filled out our crew. Mm-hmm. We're chatting about Elemental, Pixar's latest edition, latest movie out in theaters now. We're going to chat about it. Make sure you're subscribed. PushRecaps.com/movies, because this is the first of a doubleheader this week. Ariel will be back to talk about The Flash later this week. And I think that one, I mean, this one is hot and spicy. That one, I think, will be hot and spicy on its own. Elemental, Jess, I feel like I was pretty excited for this one. I feel like it a lot of the previews had some of this, like, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, they're elements, and then yeah, okay, they're gonna, you know, there's a joke that went around a little while ago that's like, Pixar just loves doing things with emotions. So it's like, and then it culminated it because it was like toys, but with emotions, and then like cars with emotions, and then it culminated with emotions.
Inside
with
out.
Emotions. Yeah. Yeah. This one is, now we're back. We're with elements with emotions. This is the first, I can't remember what the last one was. This movie did not do super well at the box office, Jess Sterling, up against The Flash.
Yeah.
And so I think made about $30 million over its opening weekend, which I think it has like a $200 million budget. But I don't know. We'll chat about what do you think overall? Spoiler free.
Yes.
Takes, do you see it or skip it, etc.
Spoiler free. I would say see it. I really enjoyed this movie. I do think, and I don't know why the reviews haven't been so hot on it. Haha. But I think that I will say, as someone who saw the previews, like the trailer for this movie, at least a dozen times, just while seeing other movies in the months leading up to its release, I don't think the trailer was a very good indication about what this movie was actually about. And I'm wondering if that's what soured people a bit on it, because it was a bit jarring to be like, oh, we're going into a really cutesy movie about some elements, and like maybe a fire sign and a water sign fall in love. And how does that even work? Because if you mix them, you're just going to get some steam, which can be good, but not if it destroys one of them. So I'm wondering if people didn't necessarily, and I didn't either, grasp what the concept of the movie was going to be before going in to see it. And then they were disappointed as a result. But all of that being said, I thought it was a really great movie. I thought it was visually stunning. Just like, I think the problem is, Grace, when you have these animated films and you're putting Elemental up against something like Spider-Man, like the Spider-Verse, and how unique and interesting and visually stunning that also is. I think when you kind of compare them, very obviously Spider-Man, the Spider-Verse movie, all those stand out in a very major way because they're so, so different and they're so unique. And Elemental is visually beautiful, but I think it's apples and oranges when you try to compare the two. And maybe that also has something to do with why the reviews aren't so hot.
Yeah, I mean, it beat Spider-Man. I mean, they made about the same amount of money this weekend, 29.6 mil for Elemental and 27.3 mil for Spider-Man. I do think the advertising of it, I think, makes sense. There's a thing we'll talk about in the spoiler. I don't think it's a spoiler. I'll say it. I don't think it's a spoiler. This is a really, this is an immigration story, a story of an immigrant family that I thought was like really well done that I did not know it was that at all. And that's also because I go to a lot of movies, so I often see a lot of trailers, but I don't think I saw a ton of trailers for this one.
There was no indication that that's what this was going to be. I will tell you, as someone who saw the trailer so many times, not even the slightest hint that that's what it was going to be.
And then I think, like, in terms of my thoughts about the movie, I think it's good. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really powerful story, but I also thought that, I mean, I guess they're tied together, but there's a way in which I wanted a little bit more of like the immigration story stuff, whereas it like kind of transitions into a love story, but the end of it, which they do, those two things do connect in a way, but I think maybe not as strong as I would have wanted it to. I feel like Pixar's in a really interesting place, like basically starting with like Onward, which is the movie that came out like just before COVID restrictions.
I love Onward. Yeah.
Yes. And then they do this thing where they release Soul straight to Disney Plus because there was COVID restrictions as well. They had then I don't mind Soul, but I really love the next two movies, which are Luca and Turning Red. And Luca's maybe my favorite Pixar movie since Coco, probably. And then Turning Red I thought was really strong. Lightyear, pretty weak. This was a movie that came out about exactly a year ago. And then there is this one. I don't know if there's like Pixar fatigue at all or what, but I don't know. I don't know what it is that like the seemingly didn't do.
I wonder if it's,
but yeah.
I mean,
the other piece too, sorry, is like, I think people are maybe willing to wait for it to just hit Disney Plus as well.
I can see why, because again, I don't know that the trailer was enough to hook me in. I thought it was a very cute idea about like, oh, all of the elements are like anthropomorphized and like, what are they going to do? What's the actual story? But I could see that it's not like as revolutionary an idea as something like your Inside Outs or your Cocos, right? Where I do think there is something to, again, you said this is an immigration story and like xenophobia and racism and all of those things play a massive, massive role in this story.
Yeah.
But I think it might be a little bit different when your characters are elements versus people. So like, I'm trying to compare like Coco, right? So much Coco is my absolute favorite number one Pixar movie. I think it's very difficult for anything to top it for me personally, because the music, the actual animation, it's so beautiful, and the characters and the story, right? All of those things kind of come together seamlessly. I wonder if it's something about the fact that these characters are elements rather than actual human people in the story of racism, xenophobia, immigration, all of those things, if that also plays a role in like people's inability to connect with them. It didn't hinder anything for me, but I'm wondering if maybe that's also playing a part. I don't know.
I do think Pixar is interesting in that they're kind of perceived as kids movies, but then you look at them and they're like, not a lot of them are not kids movies.
They're deep.
Yeah. Like Coco, I was like, I loved it. And I was like, but I'm not showing my niece. This is all about death. You know, it's like,
it's Dia de los Muertos, Grace.
Yes. But it's at some point, like she'll be old enough where it's like, yeah, she understands the concept of death. And like my niece is probably getting close to that age, but like, I still think maybe not, you know, that Lightyear definitely felt like that was a kid's movie, but it's based on IP that is so feels like Toy Story 3. So I think sort of like that point where it's like, oh, these movies are like that movie was so much about like being a kid who watched Toy Story and now you're an adult who is watching Toy Story 3. Like Turning Red, even I know it's like that's not like a kids movie, like that's more like, I mean,
it's like a preteen, like an adolescent type of film. Yeah,
right. But I felt like most of the people who were watching it was much more like I'll finish my thought, which is I think that it was a lot more like adults who were watching that and appreciate it, being like, this is so great for like that the kids that age. Whereas like when you go a little bit younger, like my niece is all about like is more Disney than Pixar.
Like the Disney princesses type of stuff.
Well, but even I guess she is a Disney princess, but what's the one that came out? We don't talk about Moana. Manice loves Moana, Encanto. Mm-hmm. So there's Encanto. There's a new movie coming out, I think, later this year called Wish, which seems like it has a banger soundtrack. Just at least the one song.
Maybe that's also why, like, Elemental didn't have a ton of bangers, I wouldn't say.
But Pixar does. I mean, Coco.
They don't always.
Coco was definitely like a musical movie, and Soul was. But I feel like they're not.
Inside really. Out, I can't think of a ton of them.
They have like the score, but yeah.
Except Bing Bong, obviously. Right.
So I feel like Pixar is in where it's like kind of catering to like kind of older kids. And I don't know if they're like nailing that exactly. And then like full on adults, it feels like.
Can
it's
I
like
ask who what they're catering to? Your yeah. theater in terms of like the demographics? I don't know how many people were in your theater when you saw this, but like, what was the breakdown? Were there a lot of little kids?
No, but I watched a late. It's like I watched a 9:10 showing. But then I went the next day to the Flash at like the middle of the day, and there weren't any kids there to go see Elemental. And I feel like my movie theater is a theater where when there's, I was telling my friend actually, because my friend is very COVID conscious, and I said, you could actually go to the theater that I go to because it's very not busy, except don't go see a kid's movie on opening weekend because it tends to be really busy and swarming with children, mm-hmm. which is, but like, that's not the energy she wants, but she's being like COVID safe. So I'm like, yeah, but there was like no kids on opening. So anyway, doesn't matter. Let's spill the PSRT of Elemental and get into it. I do think it's worth watching, worth it if you're willing to risk going to the theaters, and you know it's worth seeing in theaters, I think. I think it's better than Flash, so I would say that. Yeah. If you're like, yeah, those are the two movies, check out Elemental before you guys see the Flash. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's build a PSRT. So Bernie and Cinder Lumen. I do love the names in this movie.
So good. 10 out of 10. And yeah. I loved, again, because it is an immigration story, like them like immigrating and them attempting to pronounce their names in their fire language.
Oh, yeah.
And then immediately the guy being like, you're now Bernie and Cinder. Done.
Yeah.
You know, very true to real life.
Yes. So they immigrate to Element City. They come from like sort of a fire island, and they open up a store called the Fireplace. And there's this really importantly, there's this blue flame that all families from the fire island have a blue flame in their house. And they sell fire related things at their house. Their daughter Ember dreams of sort of taking over the business once her dad retires, but she's having trouble controlling her temper. She's not great at the customer service aspects of running the shop. There's a day where she gets to run, I think it's like Fire Day Sale or something.
Red Dot Sale. Yeah, that's it.
She becomes completely overwhelmed. She goes into the basement. She has like a fiery outburst, and these pipes break and water comes in. Not great for fire people, fire elementals, but she meets Wade.
great name.
What's it? Wade Ripple.
Ripple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wade Ripple. He is a health inspector who then realizes that this place has a ton of violations, and he has to write, and he likes to cry a lot. There's a running joke where I'm not sure if it's like all water people, but specifically the Ripples cry a lot.
I love this.
I'm so sorry. I have to shut you down. And so he like, you know, there's like a chase that happens where she chases him to City Hall or wherever. But unfortunately, like, she's too late, and Wade has like put in the sent the like, you know, violations up the chain. So Gale is his boss, who is a like wind elemental. She's off the next day, even though that's who she needs to convince. Like, can you just get rid of the violations? They go to Cyclone Stadium where they like watch a sporting event, and I've
tell me why we need to name the sporting team the Crop Dusters, Grace.
It's scary. Scary. It's Crop
Dusters. We all know what I'm talking about, and I was like, mm-hmm. I could not even pay attention because they were called the Crop Dusters.
She notices that like wave, the only time I've ever liked the wave at a sporting event was when it was an actual wave. It was very funny. And she notices that like, oh my gosh, you're like so good at actually like you connect with people and whatever they start.
Yeah, her father always tells her to breathe and connect with people to like calm herself down. And she's a fire sign, so she can't calm herself down. But Wade is just like so good at connecting with people.
Yeah. So we learned that there isn't supposed to be any water in this area of town, but apparently there's like leaks in the canals and maybe a hole in the dam. And so Gale is like, okay, if you can figure that out and like seal it, I will rip up your violations. And so they go and they actually use sandbags to like hold the, there is a break in one of like the canal dams and they're able to do it, but they're going to have to figure out how to like mend it. And so Wade and Ember start spending a bunch of time together as they're trying to like investigate why the leak is happening. And he teaches her that like maybe when you're having a temper, it's like trying to tell you something about yourself. And she's like, nah, I don't think so. And he's like, well, maybe you don't even want to run the store. And she's like, not true. I've always wanted to run the store. So her mom starts to catch on that she can smell love in the air.
Yeah, this was a whole thing that I almost wish the mom had more to do in the story. Agreed. Because she's treated, I don't know. She's treated almost like a fortune teller of sorts where she can like, oh, you each fire person has to breathe on a stick and then smoke comes out and I'm going to tell if you're true love, if you're like soulmates.
But also she can just smell love too.
She can also smell love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she begins, she's like, oh my God, you reek of love. Yeah. Basically.
So Ember goes over to Wade's family's house for dinner. And she fixes a broken glass pitcher by like blowing glass. And Brooke Ripple, Wade's mom, is like, that's really impressive. I could get you a glass making internship. It's just very far from Element City. And she's like, no, I have to like, you know, I have to look after the shop. Wade admits during the crying game where you just try to make someone cry and they lose easily the ripples all the time that he has feelings for Ember. And then they go and they seal off the dam with glass. She turns the sand into glass.
Loved this, by the way.
And
beautiful.
Seal it off. And then Gail's like, great, I'll rip up your violations and your store can be stay open. And then Bernie announces he's going to retire and he's going to hand over the fireplace to Ember. He even makes a sweet sign for her. Yeah.
It was so, and also worth mentioning, Bernie is seemingly very ill. Yes. Like he's aging, he's coughing a lot and he's overworking himself. Ember is constantly trying to get him to relax and kick back. But I feel like this is like the heart of the movie is really like Bernie's status as an immigrant.
Yes.
And how this was his dream is the shop and he has such ownership over it that he can't relinquish it to Ember until she's quote unquote ready, which he puts off and off and off for a very long time, wanting her to be like at her best before she can take it over. And this means so much to her that, and the sign is like, oh my gosh, it made me want to die. It was so cute.
There's this important thing too, where her dad, Bernie, talks about when he left, he knew that like Fire Island or whatever was like in danger and people were like losing their blue flames. And so it was really, and he's like, we have to leave. We have to go and live it. You know, we're going to move to Element City. And when he goes to leave, he gives this like bow that's like traditional of like, you give the most respect to the person you're bowing to. And then they're supposed to return it. But his father refused to bow back to Bernie.
Yeah.
So it's the thing that like sticks with him. Yeah.
Can I just say, I feel like this was the part of the story that I felt like could have used more because I didn't quite understand. Like, I understand their place gets destroyed in like the fire homeland. Mm-hmm. And so Bernie and Cinder are forced to leave because she's pregnant and they need a place to stay. I didn't quite understand
I think that the idea is that they could have stayed, but it's like, it would be a lot of work. Like he's like, it would be safer for me to leave. But it's like,
it's very much a story of America of like, well, we want to go to America because that's where the dreams are, right? Like that's where you make your dreams come true. And the father wasn't happy about that. I guess I didn't understand like the purpose of the blue flame. It was just like symbology in terms of, you know what I mean? Like
it's just
it really worked hard to keep it alive the whole time. So
yeah, it's like a cultural thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But no, I did love Bernie was like, oh, I loved him.
Yeah. All right. So Wade takes Ember to Garden Central Station to see the Vivisteria flowers, which are flowers that can grow in any place in the world. Under any condition, they can grow. And there's a story about when she was a kid, she wanted to go see them, but fire people were not allowed to go see it because people thought that they would burn the flower and it would die.
Yeah, there's this whole thing.
Straight up racism. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's this whole thing throughout, basically, about how the city is not meant for fire people.
Yeah,
because
for mostly water people, but other, you know, other people, all the other elements. Yeah.
Yeah. Because basically the gist of it is like, well, if a fire person bumps into an earth person, they can like burn them and like turn them into ash. The same thing with the fire, you know, like they have to carry umbrellas so that they don't get splashed, essentially. And so like really this world is not built for them. And especially when Bernie and Cinder arrive, they start from like the ground up. Versus mm-hmm. now into seemingly Ember is, you know, maybe in her 20s, I assumed. Like it's much more populated by fire people than it was when Bernie and Cinder moved in. And so she's never really been to the city because it's not meant for people like her, which is really sad and tragic. And like, I really enjoyed how that mapped onto Ellis Island, New York, kind of all of those things, you know?
Yeah. So the station is flooded, but Gale provides an air bubble for Ember to like travel through, and she's able to see it, although she starts running out of air and like they get out.
And the flowers bloom with her heat,
right?
Which was one of the most beautiful moments of the whole film, was watching him like spin her around and kind of all these like flowers blooming around them. Gorgeous.
And then they realize that they can touch without harming each other. They like touch their hands and sort of like he sort of like bubbles a little bit and she, you know, whatever, but there's no danger to them touching. And then they like hug and dance and it's very cute. But she immediately realizes like she needs to go back to the fireplace. And also there's a story too where Bernie mostly really doesn't like water people because of how they have treated him in the past. He's the most like, you know, doesn't want water people around at all. Mm-hmm. So I think in this moment, she's like worried about what her dad would think if she's like with Wade. So she leaves. She's about to take over the fireplace, but Wade appears and professes his love for her. And he also lets it slip that she caused the broken pipes. And her dad freaks out and says she is not allowed to run the store. He is not retiring. When the glass seal does break and the fire district starts to flood, but Wade and Ember are able to like save the blue flame together. There is a wow. This is where I think mostly this is like, wow, this is like, is this a kid's movie or not?
Dark.
It was like,
yeah,
Wade, like basically in the movie, you think he dies. He like,
yeah, because he gets evaporated. So hot.
Yeah. He's being steamed to death basically. And he's like, don't worry. Like she's going to like break open the room that they're trapped in to like let the water, and he's like, no, it's okay, I will go.
He sacrifices himself.
So then when the flood is done, Ember tells Bert, she's like, I don't want to run the fireplace, actually I want to like, and also I love this water guy. And because of like the crying game from earlier, as she's saying like that she loves him, there's drips from the ceiling indicating that he is crying. And
he's
like,
crying. You hear him like, oh.
So he is regenerating himself. She keeps doing more of the crying game stuff. And eventually he pops out and then they kiss. And then months later, they're going to leave Element City so that Ember can do glass making. Before she boards, she gives the bow to Bernie, who then tearfully returns the gesture. And that's Elemental.
Yeah. I just really like this story. I think there are certain things that they could have expanded on that I would have enjoyed seeing more of.
Yeah.
But overall, I thought the world building was so interesting. Getting to see the city itself and getting to see like the air people just like float up to the top of their little trains, right? And these like big water splashes and like the water people coming out of there and having to see Ember carry an umbrella so that she doesn't get splashed, and they eat little like twigs to basically like regenerate if they do get splashed. All of the world building and the imagery and like the water ripples and the fact that Wade could use Ember and stand in front of her to get like flame to light one of the little torches that her mom could smell to see if they were a true match, right? All of those things I thought were so well done. I really liked the story they were trying to tell of someone who is 20 something and has so much burden on her. I'm not an immigrant. I'm not a child of immigrants. You know, I'm very much white, so I don't have all of this background in what they're going through, but I just thought it was so beautiful to see. And I've read stories of children of immigrants and how much pressure they're under because to fulfill what their parents did for them, right? Ember feels all this pressure, like they came here for me to give me a better life and I'm disappointing them. And she's desperately trying to get her father to a place where he can retire and settle down. And all she thinks all he cares about is her running the shop because he's never told her otherwise. And her even having a different dream than that is just unimaginable for her up until she meets Wade. And I just thought these two balanced each other out in such a lovely way. And Grace, to have the character of Wade, who, first of all, was so refreshing. I love seeing a male character who is so willing to give emotions so freely. And
there's really funny. There's also a moment at the beginning when he pumps out of the pipe and he's like, oh, really jam me up in there. And he's like jacked and he's like shakes himself out. And he's like, he's got a little
flubbery.
He's like, yeah, he's great. Yeah.
Yeah. His relationship with his parents and their whole family. I loved seeing, again, it's not even just a story of race, but like socioeconomic differences as well. His family is very well off. They live in like a luxury apartment. She's a child of immigrants who can barely like afford to fix their pipes. Yeah. He built the place from the ground up, right? So I thought this movie has so much to offer, and I really did enjoy it. I do think, like, if I had nits to pick, probably the soundtrack could use more bops. I would say, like, the final song of the movie got stuck in my head a little bit, but I thought it could use a little bit more kind of stuff that's going to resonate more. And, like, maybe they could have expanded a little bit more on, like, Bernie and Cinder, I guess. I mean, a lot of this is focused, you know, Ember and Wade, it's really like their story. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, I did too. I think for me, the strongest part is certainly like Ember and her trying to figure out, you know, the whole thing of the store and what she wants to do. With her life. And I thought that actually like the glass blowing stuff as well, we've throughout the movie that she's like able to do it to block the dam, but then she's also like fixes the pitcher. I thought the only person I think I really knew before, you know, you play these movies and animated movies where you're like, who's that voice?
Whose voice is that?
I really didn't know. I don't know.
Did you recognize Catherine O'Hara? Yeah, because I did immediately.
Yeah. So Catherine O'Hara was very fun as Brooke Ripple, Wade's mom. I really loved her. And I guess that's an extension of like the dynamic of like that. You can tell that like Wade is her daughter her son in terms of like how just like sweet she is. But I also thought there was because he's sort of speaking on her behalf later. Like, she was just trying to be nice to like offer you like a glass internship, but like not realizing, like, doesn't know the rest of her Ember's life. Yeah, I did like, I mean, I don't know in terms of like, what is like missing in terms of it being like the best Pixar stuff ever. It's hard to tell what's there other than like a feeling that like, there's just something a little bit
an X factor or something. Missing.
Yeah. Sort of an X factor to it. Like, you know, Coco, I feel like certainly like hits on the emotional level. I mean, I guess that's maybe it is that like, it feels like there's often a little bit more of like an emotional gut punch sometimes that maybe this movie doesn't have. Although that could totally be my bias that like, it's a way. And like, as someone who's not an immigrant, who is white, is like maybe just completely, that's like, you know, not fair of me to say like it's missing an emotional gut punch.
Certainly that piece of like
Bernie. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to hear from anybody who is either like an immigrant or a child of immigrants or even like a grandchild of immigrants or something like that, of like how they related to this movie and if they felt like it was moving. Cause there were certain moments like the flashback to Bernie.
I do think it's moving. I just think I don't know that it's hits on the same level for me as like Coco, Toy Story 3.
Inside Out.
And that's like often like real mortal danger, where it's like I know that there's like I mean Wade dies in this movie basically until he's like not dead, so like,
and maybe, you know, it's because it's a water elemental and he just like evaporates versus an actual human being. Like, there could be something like that where it's that is the difference.
As Wade was dying, I was like, wow, this movie's hitting hard. It's going hard.
I thought Wade had died, and I was like, are they really going to do that to us? Are they really doing it to us? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I do think this movie is just is charming and very beautiful. Like I said, I think the world building, okay, I do have to say, Grace, I did like laugh out loud.
That would be my elemental.
Grass. I did laugh out loud when they go in the hot air balloon and they're flying by a couple of like tree people and they're like, oh, we're just pruning. I thought that was so funny. Like those types of things and the littler things, right? Of when Wade tries one of those hot fireball things, for lack of a better term, at they could have been punnier maybe at the fireplace when he eats one and then like a bubble comes out and just screams. Little moments like that I thought were so funny and just so appropriate given the world that we're in. Yeah, maybe it's just missing a little bit of an X factor, I guess.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on. It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Yeah, I don't. I'm looking at some of these, like, I mean, this is nothing but like Letterboxd reviews, but like, yeah, it does seem as people are like, yeah, like ironically, it's like this movie, like maybe doesn't have a little bit of the shark, the spark, that like Pixar has had in the past. Yeah.
You know what else I was gonna say, Grace? One other thing that I felt like I had wished and I thought was gonna come back around was Ember's temper, right? She turns like this purple color, and that's what kind of causes the whole pipes to burst in the beginning. And that never really came back. I guess I thought her temper was going to help her with her glass blowing or something. And that we would get to see that. And it didn't. And I was a little disappointed because I thought that that was something that was so, to me, it felt so intrinsically tied to who Ember was, that she does have this like spicy temper that she can't control all the time. I thought it was going to come back around a bit more and it didn't. And I felt like that was a little bit of a missed opportunity, that they could have done something where that actually is something that helps the situation rather than hurts it. But
yeah, I think, so I definitely agree with that take. I think that so I have one thing that I want to critique and then one thing that I want to say about this movie that I think is like really I don't think me saying is important, but there's a way in which I think this movie is really important. So the first piece of critique is, I think the world building is a little bit flat. I like the idea of the Element City not being built for fire people and some of the stuff at the beginning, almost like that kind of like, once we get through the like how the different groups immigrate to like Elemental City, I feel like they don't do a ton with the world. I think even I find the like it's a dam that's leaking. I feel like was not. I was like, okay, sure, and like all these canals that used to be there that are not like. I felt like that was a little like confusing. I'm not confused, but I'm like, it could be something so much like it was not this like twist, you know, there's a way in which sometimes this movie, like if it's like, oh, the city isn't built for us. And I guess the idea of like there being a big crack in the dam is like, well, they don't care about us. But like there was nothing more to it other than it seemed like the infrastructure there had broken down.
I was wondering that about that too. Like, does no one else care that there's a big crack in this dam?
But then also like, they never say that. And it's a movie that I feel like is not super nuanced in a way. Like it's it's very much like telling you what it's about, which actually don't mind because that's actually I'll get to in my next.
Very straightforward.
But I do think that like, yeah, the fact that it's just that like a dam is broken that causes the flood rather than like her anger or like something about, you know, there's like, who's the villain in this? Is there a villain in this movie?
Racism.
I mean, I get that's
xenophobia.
But also like we get that for the, like the city isn't built for fire people, but like, you know, maybe I'm way off base here, but like, I feel like There's no, yeah, I guess there's, I mean,
there
that
really
is the
isn't
villain,
any other, yeah,
but the villain isn't the thing that, I mean, yes, the infrastructure is not kept up, and you could argue that, like, but that's not in the movie. That's all like me reading into that. So I like, yeah. I think that there's a piece to that part of the story in terms of like how they actually get it. And not that I want like screaming racists with like, you know, I don't want any of that, but I, mm-hmm. I feel like they're like, you know, the way in which like, I don't know, maybe this is wrong too, because again, I would love to hear people speak on it who have this lived experience, because I remember Kevin Mahadeo one time saying about D&D, I was talking about when you play D&D and you're the DM, you play as these people, you might play as people of different like races. So you might play as like a black person, like human in the world. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to him about that because I feel like the answer isn't not to have those people in the thing. And his piece of advice was like, it's okay, don't try to solve racism in your story. So then I'm thinking like, was there a way, at least like, could there have been a way where they're like, okay, the problem with the infrastructure, there's, it doesn't feel like the end of the movie anybody learns anything about the way fire people are treated, right? Like, do you know what I mean? I guess it's just, yeah, like maybe a, and I feel really weird about that because again, this is not, it's not my lived experience, and so maybe people don't want that, but I do just think there's, from the complete story of like what there is no like bad person, like bad villain or whatever, and I don't even need them to, I don't want them to necessarily learn something. I feel like there's something missing in the like construction, like in Coco, you get the singer guys, like, oh, that guy's bad. That's,
yeah,
bad,
he's a bad guy.
Mm-hmm. So,
and it was a big old twist too. It had a big twist, which this movie doesn't really have a big twist. Not that every movie needs one, but
no, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. I do think it's better than people are saying it is in reviews. I would say that. I don't think it's like the best Pixar movie. I have every Pixar movie ranked because I did a rewatch.
Yeah, I was actually wondering if you know where you're gonna slot
this. Yeah, I slotted this one in. So out of 27 Pixar movies there are, I have this one at 11. So I have it just above Toy Story 3 and just below Luca. Is kind of where it is in my position. The things above it: Coco, Toy Story 2, Inside Out, Up, WALL-E, Monsters, Inc. I have a very, I have nostalgia for that one, so don't get on my case.
Oh, me too.
Onward, Incredibles.
I could not believe that there is like, I can't even believe that there's actually like Monsters, Inc. haters out there because I have such nostalgia.
They're the monsters, Grace. Yeah, right. Nemo, Luca, and then Elemental. And maybe that's a little bit high. I mean, I came out of it really impressed and I really loved it.
Wait, but, you have Luca, you know, above or below it?
Above.
Okay,
great. I have just above it, number 10. My favorite all time is Coco. And yeah. I just think that is like a perfect film. Mm-hmm. It encapsulated everything that I wanted to see in a Pixar movie. So like every Pixar movie I see, I compare to Coco and they're on. But I think the ones that are at the top of my list, generally speaking, involve a lot of emotion and a lot of something brand new that I think Pixar is doing, right? So mm-hmm. like a movie like Inside Out is pretty revolutionary, I would say, right? Even to the point where people are now saying this is a core memory for me, and that is from Inside mm-hmm. Out.
Right.
Up, same thing. Like the first 5 minutes of Up, if you're not completely destroyed inside, I don't know who you are.
Did you get the short before you watched Elemental?
I did.
All right, we'll chat about that in a second.
Yeah. So yeah, and I mean, I think one of the more impressive ones, I have Onward at 7. I mean, as someone who loves D&D, I would be really hard pressed to not like Onward, but I really also enjoy movies that aren't just about like romantic love, but like relationships in general. And so like a sibling relationship is really explored in Onward, and I really loved that movie. So yeah, I'd say it's like it feels about middle of the pack, which feels right for me for this movie.
So the thing I really like about this movie is this is one, as like, I don't have kids, but I do have nieces who we watch all the Disney stuff. I am excited for them to watch this one because I think that, you know, and again, like movies should not be made for like my little white niece to like learn a lesson about racism. But I am excited that like this is in the list of movies that she'll probably watch at some point, which is a movie that talks about racism in a way. So I, not in a way, it does speak to it. So I am excited for that reason. And like Wade, you know, Wade as a character too, who's like basically is like just help people, like, you know, you can help people, is kind of cool. So I do think from it like being like an important movie, and in terms of like the kind of stuff that Pixar has been, you know, Turning Red is a good example of like a movie, a Pixar movie that is not like other Pixar movies. So I like that. Did you know that this director, this is a director who did another Pixar movie? Did you know that? Do you want to take a guess as to which other Pixar movie he did?
Directed. How do you direct an animated? I mean,
this is Peter Stone, and this movie is heavily influenced by his life growing up as the son of Korean immigrants.
One of the Finding Nemos, is it? Like the water, I'm thinking. No. Gosh, I don't know. Which one is it?
It is The Good Dinosaur. It's the other movie he directed.
The Good Dinosaur, I have it at 24. And if you are out there and know how much I love dinosaurs, you know how much it pained me to put it that low. It was not good. And the only thing below it are all the Cars movies, because I simply hate the Cars movies and I will not apologize for it. But yeah, Good Dinosaur was really a disappointment, frankly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I will always watch a new Pixar movie. I think they're really fun. I don't know. I enjoy them. Sometimes you just want to go see something a little light, a little uplifting, see the fun animation. I think movies are getting more and more interesting with their animation. I mentioned Spider-Verse earlier. So I always look for like new and interesting things that they're doing in the animation style. And I think this one was very interesting, right? Like I like the small details they had, in this movie.
Okay. Let's talk about Carl's date. Is that the name of the Pixar short?
It could have been, but either way, Carl is going out on a date. I love, you know, give me more Doug, give me all of Doug. Doug is the cutest. He's the best.
Yeah.
And I loved this. I especially love when, Carl comes downstairs with his hair dyed black. It looks so bad.
Yeah. I liked, Doug telling Carl what to do on a first date.
You go sniff her butt. Do what a dog would do.
Just do what a dog would do. Yeah. Yeah.
Doug is butt. So simple.
Yeah.
I love him.
I like that it was not about the date. It was about Carl getting ready for the date. In a movie where like potentially the like best love story, like all of Pixar, I don't know. I can't think of anything else at the moment.
You're like, don't go on a date, Carl.
Well, I know.
It probably is the best love story, I think.
I mean, not that people can't then go like, you know, old, you know,
I mean, find, at the very least, love,
you know,
they did have him talk to Ellie about it. Right. Like he was like, you'll always be my number one girl and on. But I mean, I thought it was sweet. You know, he's not used to getting ready for a date. He hasn't dated in a very long time.
Yeah.
I love the conversation with Doug, and I love that he ultimately brings Doug with him as a chaperone of sorts is what he says. I don't know that I would trust to bring Doug. Like if he sees a squirrel, that's it. It's over. But anything with Doug, I'm usually very happy to see.
Yeah. It was cute. It was fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, that was groundbreaking.
I love a Pixar short. They're fun. What's the one? My favorite one is the one with the little
Bao?
Dumplings.
I love the Bao. I love Bao. Yeah.
Bao makes me want to sob. It is Bao. Bao makes me want to sob uncontrollably for like 5 hours, but it's also very sweet.
Give us the full Bao Pixar movie. Come on.
I would watch the heck out of that, Grace. I really would.
Be good. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that is our coverage of Elemental. The next movie, I think, is there's a movie called Elio coming out next March.
Like the pizza? Do you have Elio's in Canada?
No, I don't think
so. You don't have Elio's Pizza, Grace? Are you kidding? No. I bet you anything, when people listen to this podcast, this is the one thing they're going to glom onto. Elio's Pizza is the treat. It is like the lunch of every summer latchkey kid. Of all time. Like you pop it in the like toaster oven for a few minutes. Usually you throw on some extra cheese because it needs more cheese.
Oh, it's like a pizza.
It's frozen pizza. Okay. I can't. If you could see Grace's disappointment.
I don't have, we don't.
She's like, oh.
I thought it was a chain. I thought it was a restaurant. I thought it was.
No, it's frozen pizza. It comes in like a rectangular shape. And you could buy pepperoni ones, you could buy plain, and you just pop that little sucker into the toaster oven for a few minutes and you're all set. Elio's Pizza. Go get some. This is not
it might
ad.
Have been owned by a Canadian company at one point. So maybe we do, and I don't recognize it at all. So if we do have it here in Canada, maybe I'll go try it. Elio is I believe he gets like abducted by aliens, and he pretends to be the leader. Like he's like a Take Me to Your Leader, and he's like, oh, it's not me. And they're like, okay, we'll send you back. And he's like, no, actually it is me. And then I think there was a trailer for it before. And then after that is Inside Out 2, which comes out next year as well. So that's the
Pixar. There is an Inside Out 2 in the works.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's coming out next year.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to be devastated.
June 14th, 2024. A year
to look forward to.
A year from now. Yep.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Yeah.
All right. Jess, so thanks so much for coming on to chat Pixar and Elemental.
This was absolutely a joy. I really enjoyed seeing this in the movies, and there's so many good movies coming out in the next like month or two. I'm very stoked about it.
I'm assuming you're most excited for Barbie Oppenheimer Day.
Actually, yeah, I was just talking to my husband about how we hope at the drive-ins they do those two as a combo. Because
are you more excited for Oppenheimer or Barbie?
Barbie, please. My okay. gosh, I had the dream boat, you know. Mm-hmm. No, I'm very excited for Barbie. My husband's more excited for Oppenheimer, but Barbie looks so good. Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Barbie does look really good. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's a rom-com coming out. I believe it's next week. Let me get this. I believe.
This is the one with Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah.
Yeah. No Hard Feelings.
That looks good too.
Asteroid City is a new Wes Anderson movie, a new Indiana Jones movie.
If I see the Indiana Jones movie trailer one more time, Grace, uh-huh. my head is going to explode.
Yeah.
It's truly infuriating. Pick a different trailer. Before that, it was Guardians of the Galaxy that I saw a dozen times. And Indiana Jones, I've been watching that trailer for like 6 months at least.
So I am doing a movie, the Criterion movie challenge. I do it. And I'm a little bit behind. But as you know, Jess, I have not been feeling well the last 2 days. And so mm-hmm. this morning I was watching this movie, a 1970s British film called Kez, which was the light and very sad, but okay. I was watching it in my tearjerker. It was tearjerkers was the subject of the week. You pick a movie from their tearjerkers collection. So I watched Kez. But the only place I could watch it for free was on Tubi, which has ads.
Tubi!
And about every 25 minutes or so, I got an ad for Indiana Jones and the Destiny. So
tired. He pulls out the whip. He whips it around. They all have guns. Joke's on you. Like, I'm done. I'm done. That's it, okay? So,
I feel your pain today. Yeah, as I saw it probably 5 times this morning.
It's not like I can just get up out of the movie theater when, you know, at least you have the mute button, you know? And when I'm in a movie theater, I have to just grin and bear it. And you know, the people around me are probably tired of hearing me sigh every time it comes on. But
just saying, I wear noise-canceling headphones, and I'm listening basically to a PSR podcast right up until the moment that, like, it's like, okay, the movie's on now.
Yeah. I got to start doing that and just ignoring my husband. I think that's
right. That's right. All right. Well, what else you got going on? What else? Where else can we find you? Already did? No, you didn't do your plugs already.
No, not yet.
We're just doing back to back pods. So
we are back to back to back. You could find me at The Jess Sterling and on Twitch, twitch.tv/TheJessSterling. Succession. We're still doing the battle royale as well as the rankings. Sure. The rankings are some of the most painful things in my life because I have to put all my favorite things and rank them up against each other, and they're all great episodes, and it's very, very painful, but it's very, very fun. And then Grace, I joined you on the Idol this week.
Yes.
It was, you know, we watched it so you didn't have to, I guess.
Right. That's right.
and then Sarah and I are covering in Just Like That season 2, which is coming out shortly and hopefully should be a good time. So all things looking good, looking up. And then, of course, on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, you can find me talking about Dawson's Creek. We're in the final season. We're halfway through. And we just had like one of the best episodes of the season, and I cannot wait to talk about it. So, yeah, go check everything out that I have going on.
Does that mean Just Like That is a Max show? Because it doesn't air on HBO, right? It's just a Max product?
Yeah, it's Max. Ever will I be adjusted to that, can I just say.
It feels bad.
And it's really upsetting because Sex and the City was HBO. So I feel like you can't just, like, it's grandfathered in, you know?
All right. I am, of course, in addition to things you mentioned, I'm doing a Dark rewatch, doing a Black Mirror watch. We did the whole season recap with Mike and LT, and then LT and I will have guests for each individual episode. And then we'll go back for a wrap-up show where we'll get your rankings. If you check those show notes of those pods, you can rank the episodes. Over on Rob is a podcast that The Pride Is Spoken. I'm chatting with LGBTQ survivors all month long. Ariel will be back later this week. We'll be chatting about The Flash. I know there was an Everything is Super recap of that podcast or that movie. So check that out. And then come join Ariel and I as we chat through the end of an era for DC. Chat through The Flash. So we'll be back later this week. Until then, I'm Grace. Ariel's not here. That's Jess. And this is Post Recap Theater.